This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. I got an email from Jim Fallows the other day, his idea for the next installment of our series, American Futures. I've got the perfect place, he wrote, but you're going to have to travel a ways to get there.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Cirrus 435 Sierra Romeo, we got Tango for landing.
Destination is at Eastport Echo, Papa Mike for 50 Romeo.
Jim, the national correspondent for The Atlantic, and his wife Deb are flying around the country in their own plane. Four seats, one engine, a Cirrus SR22 for the aviation-minded among you. They're stopping where they like, with us riding along every now and then, building a picture of what the American economy looks like. For us, today, the American economy looks a lot like this. A warehouse up on a hill, overlooking a pier so big it could be an airport runway. A warehouse that's filled with dried wood pulp on its way from the woods of Maine to China.
Can we duck into the warehouse just to get a sense of how much pulp this is?
Yes.
Oh, man! This is unbelievable.
The scale and speed of this is incredible. Yeah.
This is what? Is this a football field, you think, probably?
I think it's 400 feet.
It's more than a football field.
Yeah.
And it's a football field wide, and it's stacked how high?
Each one of them is about 5 feet.
Five feet, 20 feet high, football field by a football field. I'm going to have to do the math later.
Yeah, but they usually load anywhere from 12 to 15 of them on a truck, and they take them down there, and the crane just picks the whole lift up.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that we got to see.
Could be a warehouse in any huge port city, about to load cargo onto a ship waiting right outside and send it off to Europe or to Asia. But we are in Eastport, Maine, population 1,331. A New England fishing village that's just about as far east as you can get in this country. Or, as Chris Gardner prefers to say,
we are standing at the deepest natural seaport in the continental United States of America.
Chris Gardner. Shaved head, goatee, a body type usually referred to as fire plug. Also a relentless advocate for this town and for the port that he's been in charge of the past 5 years. As he stands overlooking that enormous pier, he believes fundamentally that they can do anything here because that deep a port so far east means he can get bigger ships across the ocean faster, no matter what the cargo is. I'm going to let him tell the story.
Well, in 2010, I was sitting in my office, and my then general manager here at the port, Skip Rogers, called me and said, we just had a gentleman call, and he wants to ship cows out of Eastport. I said, okay, alive or dead? And he chuckled, and I said, don't act like that's not a serious question. What? He says, oh, they're alive. I said, okay, that's step one. I said, how are we going to ship them? They want to stuff them in boxes. Of course they do. They want to stuff live cows in boxes. And he said, and oh, by the way, they're pregnant. I said, of course they're pregnant. Of course they're pregnant. So they want to ship live, pregnant dairy cattle in boxes out of Eastport, Maine. He said, that's exactly the phone call that I just got. I said, okay. And he said, what do you want me to tell him? I said, tell him yes. And there was a pause. He said, what do you mean yes? He said, how can we say yes with this permits, this issues? I mean, cows in boxes, how do we? I said, Skip, you never lead with no. That crazy phone call that you just got, somebody else is going to get. That's going to be just as crazy to them as it is to us. But you call them back and tell them, not only can we want to. And as a result, we have parlayed that into almost 40,000 head of cattle exported here since 2010.
You never lead with no, Chris says. So in this tiny little town, a place where the economy's been lousy the past decade or so, there are now huge cargo ships with pregnant cows being shipped out to Turkey and wood pulp going to China. Eastport is so small that the lobster docks are just a 10-minute walk or so from the cargo pier, and late in the afternoon, boats are tied up there by the dozen.
Are you guys going out or coming in or standing around? What you doing?
Waiting for fuel.
Waiting for fuel. All right, come on. We're going to come down and say hi. First of all, do me a favor and introduce yourself. Tell me your name.
Jesse McPhail.
How old are you, Jesse?
33.
You've been doing this your whole life?
For a while. First part of my years, I didn't really want to work for my father, so I tried a bunch of other stuff.
So how come you went into lobstering then, finally?
Smartened up.
tell me about that. You make a pretty good living?
Yep.
Give me a sense. Give me a dollar number.
Oh, I can't tell you that. You the IRS?
Are you comfortable?
I'm pretty comfortable.
How important is it to you that that Eastport sort of grows as a town, right? I mean, one of the things we're talking about here is that is that this town used to be down on its luck, right? And a bunch of people got together and said, in essence, we're not going to let that happen. Is that important to you?
Yeah, it's kind of good.
Years ago, it was all plywood.
Hang on a minute. Tell me your name.
Basil Pottle.
How old are you, Basil?
65.
Tell me about 10 years ago.
10 years ago, that whole front street right there was all plywood up. Every building. Half of them down on the other side was all plywood up. Today, every shop down there, somebody's in.
So what happened?
Well, people come around and seen a thing that could happen here. Like, I own a campground. And I probably have anywhere between 300 to 400 people in the campground every day. They come in this town and go shopping. 10 years ago, there was nothing for them here to do. There wasn't even a restaurant here that sold lobster. So I had to start a restaurant so that they could eat a lobster.
That's so you fish, you have a restaurant, you run a campground. Seems like everybody here has like 6 jobs.
Yep, you got to have a job for every season.
One of the jobs a lot of these lobstermen have, no matter the season, is handling the cargo down at the pier. They get health insurance there and benefits, too. The trip from the warehouse down to the ship and the pier is short and steep. 5 bales go on a truck, and once every 90 seconds, 30 tons of paper gets lifted high off the ground and swung out into the hold. And up on the cargo deck, the Filipino navigator of this Norwegian-flagged ship that's taking chopped-up American trees to China so that they can make paper and sell it back to us watches with him.
Now what are you going to do? Because there's not enough space for a whole nother thing. So what are you going to do?
They're going to put one more.
You think it's going to fit?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to fit.
One more.
All right, we're going to watch.
Oh, no, it's going to fit.
Oh. You see?
He was right, of course. We spent all day up in Eastport running around with people who make their living on or near the water. People on the big cargo ships, people running little lobster boats, people who have 3 or 4 or 5 other jobs just to help them get by. And that, it turns out, is what this slice of the American economy looks like right now. Our series with Jim and Deb Fallows and The Atlantic is called American Futures. We've got maps, a link to Jim's blog, and today a quiz about the Eastport economy. Everything lives online at marketplace.org. And while you're there, drop us a line. Tell us where you think we ought to go next.